across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today we'll meet Greg Norman's latest mind guru. We'll find out which popular film has copped a bake from anti-smoking groups. We've got another sizzling serve of Martin Malloy Place, and we'll once again ask who's got the arse and why. We'll play Radio Gladiators and When Celebrities Attack. We'll let Amanda Vanstone have her revenge. And joining us live, it's that TV funny man turned film director, Rob Sitch. Yes, this and more coming up on the program that drove Pat Rafter to drink. Martin Malloy, dealt with young hearts run free. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another round of Martin Malloy. Does my voice sound a bit shot today? I'll tell you why. We've been recording Martin Malloy Place all afternoon. It's all been worth it.
Yep.
And that's coming up very soon. It's just having the icing put on the big steamy cake right now. Who's in today? It's myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here. He was Greg Norman's last mind guru, Mick Malloy.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
You were the bloke who got him into that mental bunker.
I know, and I've just left him there for someone else to clean up after. That's exactly what I want to talk about too, Tone. With the US Masters due to kick off tonight, our time, Greg Norman has returned to the Augusta National Golf Course and will attempt to erase the painful memory of one of the most emphatic capitulations in golfing history after he was beaten to a bloody pulp by Nick Faldo in the final round last year. Do you remember any of that, Tone?
Yes.
All I can remember seeing is his caddy giving him a Heimlich as he choked on about a 7-stroke lead.
Oh, it's coming back now.
Yeah. This time round, though, Norman is taking no chances and has employed the services of US President Bill Clinton's mind guru, Tony Robbins, one of America's best-known motivational coaches, to help him put his shameful past behind him and get on with the job of winning this year's tournament. Now, after meeting with Robbins, Norman said, "It was like going to the toilet and flushing out all my bad thoughts."
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. Yes, I remember him teeing off on the 16th last year, Tone, and by the look of his pants, I'd say he was in the process of flushing out a few bad thoughts right there and then. The air was so thick with the smell of bad thoughts, the gallery had to disperse. Flush out all the bad thoughts. Yeah. How much does therapy like that cost, Tone?
I don't know.
Any ideas? I suppose it depends on whether it's a half flush or full year after.
Sure.
I saw him emerging from one of his therapy sessions. Mm. Quite embarrassing, really. He had toilet paper stuck to the heel of one of his shoes.
You hate that.
Oh, don't you? But that's what Greg does. Turns up to his therapist and parks a mental loaf. Anyway, here's Greg again talking about the therapy. "It was like standing in front of the mirror and saying how good you are." Yeah, that's going to help, isn't it? Everyone else is out in the driving range smacking golf balls while Greg's at home ogling himself in the mirror going, "Oh, yeah, oh, you are good. Oh, yeah, you're good. Oh, I want to get into your pants, big boy. Oh, do it to me." Oh.
Unquote.
Unquote. It's a pity the mirror can't talk back. That'd be interesting. Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the best golfer of them all?
"You are, Greg."
"I'm a good golfer, aren't I?"
"You are the best golfer to ever play the game." "If you want to win, play the final round without any pants on."
"Thanks, mirror. Oh, and by the way, I'm pretty cute, aren't I?" Nah, the mirror could have some fun, I reckon, Tone. I think he's pretty desperate, though, because he's gone to some extreme lengths to win this tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what my advice would be, Tone?
What's that?
He should take a leaf out of our own Davis Cup tennis player's book and play the entire tournament off his nut. Forget the golf bag. Greg's caddy should just be following around the course with a slab. Greg should be chasing other golfers up the fairway, whirling a 9-iron in one hand and his underpants on his head, shouting, "Arnold Palmer's a poof!" On the tee, his caddy should be crouched behind a wobbly Greg Norman with a box of matches trying to light his farts. Oh, hang on. No, I think that's a job for his mind guru.
Keeping the faith here at Martin Malloy. Mick, want a bit of movie news?
Yes, please.
Listen to this. The American Lung Association, they have these awards every year for the films which have the most amount of smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not good awards. They're bad awards, you see. And they've slammed the film Independence Day for having the year's most number of smoking scenes in a film.
Right.
Now, do you remember much smoking in Independence Day?
Not really.
I remember a fair bit of smoked ham in the form of Harvey Fierstein and that bloke who played Jeff Goldblum's Jewish dad.
Oh, yeah.
But this idea that people smoking in Independence Day sets a bad example. You know, when the entire world is being destroyed, when cities are exploding and thousands of parked cars are flying up the street towards you in a massive firestorm of destruction, I doubt you'd be standing there going, gee, maybe I should give up the smokes. Apparently they're dangerous for your health. You know, I don't think it was cigarettes that killed all those people at the White House. In fact, the smokers were probably the only ones to survive because they would have all been out the front having a sneaky fag when the place went up. Where was all the smoking in Independence Day? I don't recall Will Smith pulling that alien out of his fighter ship and saying, "Welcome to Earth, got any Winnie Blues?" Sure, there was that bit at the end where Wilbur and Golders cracked open the cigars.
Yeah, I remember that.
But if I remember, they were trapped inside the biggest, deadliest and most impregnable nest of murderous aliens in the history of cinema. Right. Monitoring the tar intake probably wasn't too high on the list of priorities. Maybe the Lung Association would have enjoyed the film more if, instead of defeating the aliens with that nutty computer virus concept, Goldblum had stepped out of the captured fighter, gone up to the grand leader of the invading forces and offered him a stiver. You know, he could have collapsed in a coughing fit. Goldblum could have turned to camera, produced a bizarre black floating object in a glass case and gone, "Alien overlords, this is what your seven lungs will look like after just one packet of menthols." Roll credits. Who else was smoking in that film? Usually in the movies, people smoke after sex. The only person who had any sex in Independence Day was Randy Quaid, who was apparently abducted by aliens and used in some sexual experiments. Remember, there was a vague kind of PG allusion to that? But I don't recall any scene with Randy lying back in bed lighting two fags, one for himself and one for a horny 8-foot insectivore with 700 teeth and 15 tentacles. Was it extremely weird, painful and revolting for you too? Hey, just quickly, speaking of movies and aliens, the investigation into the Heaven's Gate UFO cult has turned up two lists of movies and TV shows. Have you heard about this?
No.
Which cult leader Marshall Applewhite said his followers could and could not watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, amongst the recommended viewing was Gandhi, a number of Whoopi Goldberg films. Sure, that'd test your commitment. And surprise, surprise, The X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of cult following even that Chris Carter probably wouldn't want to bar off. But on the banned film list was, and there's quite a few surprises,
right.
Banned, the Michael Keaton comedy Multiplicity. Applewhite didn't want his followers thinking about cloning. They see that and go, there's a way to get me balls back. And the one at the top of the list was the recent Island of Dr. Moreau. Gee. Obviously, Applewhite's put the tape of that on, had a look at Marlon Brando in the white-faced Lippian pup tent and gone, oh, this guy's a complete nutbag. Thanks very much, Puff Johnson, over and over here at Martin Molloy, where it's time for the talk to turn steamy.
Things are hotting up on Martin Molloy Place.
All right, who's been using my Thigh Master?
I have love chunks. How do you think I got these buns of steel?
They're not buns of steel.
Actually, they are. Watch. Oh, a little lower, Mick. Ah, that's the spot.
Yeah, well, try smacking me in the bum with this mallet.
Sure. Ah! Wow!
Without blowing my own trumpet, I should point out that ever since my butt came back from the smelter, it's been providing medical benefits to those in need of an iron lung.
That's crap.
No, it's true. How are you breathing down there, buddy?
Very nicely, thanks.
It's hotter than a VCR under a drug addict's armpit this week on Martin Molloy Place.
Yeah? Well, you tell Daryl I am very disappointed, you hear me? Very, very disappointed. Jeez, who do you have to root to get on the Red Faces panel?
You'd sleep with anyone on Hey Hey to get a gig, wouldn't you?
Anyone not wearing a cowboy hat?
Well, I've been on Hey Hey twice.
Really?
Yes, I have.
And tell me, does it get hot inside that duck suit?
You bitch!
Oh, slut!
Oh, mole!
Oh, tart!
Oh, cow!
Oh, strumpet!
Oh, slag!
Oh, pug!
Oh, knick, knack, patty, whack! Give the dog a bone!
I like aeroplane jelly for me!
Oh, 10,000 green bottles hanging on the wall!
Uh-oh.
If one green bottle should accidentally fall, then there'd be 9,999 green bottles!
It's hotter than the saddle on Marlon Brando's horse this week on Martin Molloy Place.
Oh!
Gracie, give up, will you? It's hopeless.
I'll never give up. Never, I tell you.
What's up with him?
He's attempting to crush a walnut between his thighs.
Is that all? Look, I can open a champagne bottle.
That's nothing. Look, I can pop corn.
Stop mucking around down the shallow end of the pool, you bawdy tarts.
Pete!
That's right. Although you can call me... Thunder Thighs!
Mother of God!
They're whoppers!
So, it was you!
Yes, I took Gracie's thigh master and used it to create these two godlike pillars of strength. They're down at the gun buyback center. Observe, was one pump-action shotgun.
Oh, careful, Pete!
Now, a perfectly functioning trombone.
That's fantastic. Fantastic! Let's go celebrate. Don't forget to lock up, Gracie.
Jeez, Pat, that's really impressive.
Bitch!
So, wear a tea towel on your head like Yasser Arafat. Don't expose your pink bits and stick your head out the window like a dog when you're driving, because things are hotting up on Martin Molloy Place. The hottest address in town.
I still can't believe Gracie's on Red Faces. Where is he anyway? I can't even see him.
Hey, look, isn't that Gracie's bum?
No, that's Red's head.
No, behind Red's head.
Hey, yeah. And look, Red's about to gong it.
Oh, by the way, fellas, anyone for walnuts?
Spicy's better than sporty spice.
Well, if you're looking for an argument, you come to the wrong place.
That'll be those Spice Girls here at Martin Molloy. Say you'll be there. Just turn up the telly quick, Mick. It's the Hooly Doolies.
Yeah. Still peddling that second-rate bunk.
Yeah.
Jump around and shake your clothes.
Yeah, just keep on trying, guys. It's never going to happen. You are the monkeys to the Wiggles, Beatles, and you always will be. Some kind of concocted, lab-created ABC idea of cashing in on the Wiggles. That's all you'll ever be.
I'm turning them off. I've had enough.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Who do they think they're kidding?
Absolutely disgusting. Now, it's Martin Molloy, and in the second hour, Robbie Sitch is back on the program.
Mm-hmm.
The castle opens today. He'll be in to see how it's shaping up, whether the Prince have come back from the chemist in time. Did you see David Stratton go to town on the castle last night?
Ooh. He's turning into a bit of a sad character, isn't he?
He's given that one star, but he loves Dante's Peak.
3.5. 3.5 stars.
He's a very serious man.
More lava. That's what Sitchy needed in his film. More lava.
And we'll put that to Robbie. In the next hour, when celebrities attack, I think we're going to turn the corner for Amanda Vanstone in the next hour.
Okay.
We're going to let her... go to town on her critics. And thanks very much to Shane Bourne for dropping by yesterday for a very fine edition of When Celebrities Attack. And also Radio Gladiators is coming up. Mick, what's going on?
You are wondering why I was late today.
Yeah.
And I do apologise, by the way.
It's okay, Mick.
For that, but I've got a problem with my dog. I have to get him,
done?
Have to get him done. And I've got a couple of quotes from the vets and it's atrocious.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like paying it, so you know what I've done?
What?
I've enrolled him in the Heaven's Gate cult.
No,
I'll take him off for free. I've got him a couple of pairs of little Nikes, a little blankie. We're heading that way. I'll just have to get him off before the actual spaceship departs.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can wind down the windows, and if he can't stick his head out the window for the whole ride, he won't be going.
Don't forget to stick $5 under his collar.
Right, that's the one.
Helping you out there.
Thank you.
And, I'd just like to say... there's something wrong. How far are we already? What, 35-odd minutes into the show? There's been no mention of Mal Colson.
Look out.
Is this Martin Molloy?
It's an oversight that needs to be corrected.
I don't know what the latest is, but certainly when it comes to Colson updates, I rely on Jim Whaley on National 9 News.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're throwing the babes at you on the other news,
sure,
but you can't go past Jim Whaley when he comes out with a sentence like this.
Prime Minister Howard, meanwhile, has vowed that any member of Parliament caught pulling a swifty with expenses will face the full vigour of the law.
That's right. Apparently Mel Colston is...
pulling a swifty.
Just keep that in mind.
Pulling a swifty.
The things have to be... You know when you write for, you know, like a comedian, you have to write in their voice. Do people have to write for Jim Whaley? Do
absolutely.
Go, on the shonk.
No, I wouldn't say on the shonk. What would you say, Jim? Pulling a swifty.
There you go.
That sounds like me.
Mm. What was our favourite Jim Whaley phrase from last year?
Princess Di getting thigh shy.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
Oh, we had a lot of calls for just the phrase.
Thigh shy.
Oh, yeah. Does Jim Whaley know we were running that on a 0055 line for some months at the end of last year? The Whaley line, but as we know, yesterday all the media were outside Mel Colson's house in Brisbane, and I think we remember what David Colston had to say when the journos tried to get through his front door.
Get the f*** off the property!
What was it been asked to do?
Get up!
There you go. And guess what? There's a great article in the paper today. After the morning's clashes with the media, everyone settled down to wait out the senator. This happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Who did not appear all day. Just before lunchtime, a woman appeared and told the press, "You should have been at the airport, fellas. He's gone to Vanuatu this morning. He left on the 8:30 Qantas flight." It later turned out Senator Colston had not flown to Vanuatu and was, in fact, at home all along. Gee, even after all this, he's still claiming for shonky trips.
This is
We're listening Martin. To Martin Molloy. Thanks to Coca-Cola, it's the proud home of...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mick, let's talk sackings again.
Oh, yeah.
We did this a couple of months back, and there was a tremendous response. It seems a lot of people have got the sack and were keen to tell us about it.
Yep.
Mel Colston, I don't suppose, strictly speaking, he's got the sack. Not yet, anyway. I know broadcaster Ron Casey got the sack last week. We actually tried to speak to him about it, but he rather rudely, I thought, described us as...
bow-legged, slant-eyed, slow-petted, rotten little bastards.
Oh, that's not right.
That hurts.
It's just not right. Now, listen here. We've gone through our sacking stories many times on this show. Mick and myself were once sacked from Channel 7 for, quote, not having enough catchphrases. With the D-Generation. We were once sacked from Channel 9 because our manager installed an illegal skylight in our office. That's true. I told this story once on the show. I was sacked from the art department of an ad agency for running a whole series of ads for a toilet cleaner where I mistakenly referred to the product as Pine Forest instead of Forest Pine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was once asked to leave an acting class, Mick, years ago because I, quote, wasn't taking it seriously enough. I was told this by the teacher, a woman named Maya Dalzell, who was dressed in a black leotard while pretending to be some flames at the time. So that was fair enough, I thought.
I got kicked out about the time everyone had to be a hamburger. And I was arguing about whether I should have pickles or not.
But would I have pickles? I need to know. We've just been sacked again, according to an article I'm reading in the paper today.
Hello.
This is in a Melbourne newspaper. A bloke called Michael Boddy has written an article claiming that Mick Molloy and Tony Martin have been sacked by their network, who has decided not to renew their contract when it terminates at the end of the year because apparently we're asking for too much money. And instead, we're going to Channel 9.
Great. That's,
where does that come from?
I don't know.
I think, as Jim Whaley says, somebody is...
pulling a swifty.
Because none of that's in fact true, but, you know, if we were going back to Channel 9, you'd like to think that the skylight had been filled in. Until that skylight's filled, we ain't getting anywhere near
absolutely.
That building.
Mm.
But, so let's talk. So have you been... I think we've run pretty much through
I've,
your sacking stories.
I've told all mine. Who else has been... Greg Ritchie?
Oh, yeah.
Has he been... Would you call that a sacking or is it a suspension?
It's a suspension. He's but we'll accept suspensions on this segment.
And what for? He's been, what, drunk, obnoxious and hurling abuse?
What did he think he was doing? Playing tennis for Australia?
It would have been rewarded.
Exactly.
It would have been promoted up the order.
He'd come in the semi-finals.
There you
go. That's fantastic. Now, I'm just filling here because Harry Connick Jr. is next door recording something for another show. Is that the Dr. Feelgood program? He seems to have no pants on. And we're trying to rope him in when he... He's going to grab him, Sam. See if you can grab him. Oh, Harry, could you just pop in for a second here?
Sure. How much money you got?
We can get you a couple of Michael Bolton CDs.
Oh, that'll do it. I'll stay all day.
Fantastic.
Oh, my
That'll get you sacked.
Frighteningly realistic.
Now, we just wanted to impose on you, if we could. I know you're a busy man. Have you ever been sacked? Have you ever been dumped? Have you ever been rejected?
Yeah, a girl rejected me when I was in high school. Mm. Oh, that really sucked. Yeah, I had a big crush on her, and she just said, I just don't like you anymore.
And do you ring her up these days and go, who's laughing now?
I know. Actually, I think she's laughing because it's Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Oh, yeah. So, she's come along.
Yeah, she has.
And one day she'll probably call you up wanting some bail money. So that'll have a fantastic ending.
I'll just pass on the Michael Bolton CDs to her. So we've come full circle, haven't we?
That's your get out of jail free card, isn't it?
Exactly.
So you've never been sacked from a job, Harry? Never once?
Well, I never really had a job, man. Actually, there was one time, a musical job I had, the guy who owned this club had a cocaine ring that he ran on the side. Mm-hmm. And my dad was and still is the district attorney in New Orleans, and I don't think he liked me being around. So I think I got let go pretty quickly from that.
Yes, ever lost any jobs because of links with a cocaine ring, Mick Malloy?
No, but I'm looking forward to the day.
Okay. Well, Harry, I know you've got things to do. What are you off to do now?
I'm going over to do an in-store at the store. In the store, actually.
Get down to the store. See Harry. He's at the store. You can't miss him. Thanks very much, Harry Connick
Jr. Thanks, man. Thanks a lot. Harry. Thanks.
They're good egg.
I hope he knows how to find the store. Just ask for directions. Just point him in the direction of the store if you see him on the street, people. And we want you to call us up now and tell us why you got the sack. It's as simple as that. Have we got a prize, Gracie? Yes, indeed. We've got tickets for two to see the movie of your choice. Nicely done, Gracie. You'll also go into the draw for 8 days in an endless summer at Club Med New Caledonia. That's really starting to hurt. Call us up, tell us how and why you got the dick from your place of employment. We'll play the whole rest of this song. 1-800-657-657. What's up? Ask four non-blondes here at Martin Malloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We haven't been sacked, despite what you may have read in the papers. It's come pretty close over the last couple of years, I have to say. Yeah. But we've got some people on the line who sadly have been sacked. Who's going first, Mick Malloy?
Let's try Lauren. How are you, Lauren?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. Tell us the circumstances around which you were sacked.
Well, actually, I was trying to crack onto me boss at Hungry Jack's, flirting with him and all that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't too impressed.
Oh, dear. Did you not have a hairnet on at the time? Was there some sort of health problem?
No, not really, but I don't think you like me too much.
Oh, dear. Well, it is Hungry Jack's. It's not Horny Jack's. That sort of thing is not meant to be going on in office hours.
Indeed.
Gee, imagine that. And romance down at Hungry Jack's. Would that make you the employee of the month?
No, I don't want to hear those stories.
I've got no pay coming through no more.
Oh, well. That's no good. Okay, well, we'll move on to Justin, who's probably got an equally seedy stories. Are you there, Justin?
Yeah, how are you, fellas?
Good.
Good. What's happened to you?
Well, I was in grade one, and I was assigned the bell ringer, which was like a pretty statutory kind of role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my watch on.
Right.
And all the kids have said, come on, Justin, it's time to go home. And I've gone, oh, geez. So I've gone and rung the siren, and it's 2:00 in the afternoon. It's still an hour of school left.
Oh, look.
All the girls have come down, and they're just like in their swimming pools going, what's going on? And all the teachers were going off at me. I got the sack, and I was really pleased, I can tell you.
Mind you. I mean, you must have been a heroic figure for some time.
I was.
Everyone's gone home early. Girls in swimming togs have appeared. It's a smorgasbord.
I'll
tell you what, when you're in grade one, they look pretty good.
Okay. Well, I don't know if we needed to know that, but it's another tale of woe.
It is indeed.
We've got Hungry Jacks, we've got bell ringing. Mm. Can we top that?
Let's try Lee, see if she can help us out. Are you there, Lee?
I'm here.
There you go. So I said she, and it's a he. There you go.
You'll get the sack. You'll get the sack, Mickey.
I'm out of here.
You'll be off to Channel 9.
Yeah,
Lee.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, all right. All right. What's on your mind? How'd you get sacked?
Well, I was in one of these primary school life-saving events one time.
Oh, yeah.
And I was actually the guy being towed.
All right, yeah.
You know, everyone's been told to wear kind of a light shirt. to kind of add a little bit of realism to the whole show, and I decided I was going to wear a football jersey, and they weren't real impressed.
Oh, so you got sacked from life-saving duties.
So I instantly doubled my weight, you see.
You know, Lee, the same thing happened to me at life-saving when I turned up on that day in my Wilderness Society koala outfit. Oh, the guy who was dragging me around, he had stern words afterwards.
I bet your ears were hurt.
He had stern words.
Ears.
Did you have the head off? That's not regulation. He had stern words, but he still gave you $5 in small change. Okay, thanks, Lee. We've got, is that Lolly? Are you there, Lolly?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Lol.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so sweet.
Have you you been sacked, Bart?
Well, no, I was kicked out of Girl Guides.
Right, why?
I gave Brown Owl, she's the leader, a brown eye.
Hang on a second.
Now, there's two options here. I'm hoping it's the more pleasant of the two. You punched her in the face?
No, I dropped the dax and didn't.
You cop this, Brown Owl. There you go. And is there some kind of... I don't know where.
Well, yeah. Of course, that was several years ago, and I've now since assumed another personality, so...
Have you really?
Yeah.
And what do you do for a job now?
Oh, I'm a student.
Oh, student, of course.
I'm a slave, in other words.
Yeah, well, lay off Amanda Vanstone, would you?
Yeah.
Lolly,
yeah, should we?
You and all your student mates, you get into her.
What happens if she come by and you revert to your old personality?
Oh, just the same, drop today.
Okay, well...
Make sure she doesn't give you the brown owl treatment.
She's at university.
Mm-hmm.
She's obviously got 100 grand in small change.
There you go.
All right. Have we got... I think Sean's next. You there, Sean?
Yeah, Tony Mick, how are you, boys?
Good.
Not too bad. Are you out of work?
Not this time, but a few years ago I was.
Right, what happened?
Well, like most Metro boys, when I was young, 14, 15, had a paper round.
Yeah.
And... I got a warning, actually, before I got the flick. The first one, I delivered papers up the wrong street, and they weren't too happy. Anyway, it was during winter, the second time I actually got the flick. It was cold and wet, and it was about 5:30, 6:00 in the morning. I thought, I'm not going to ride this round, so I rolled up in my old man's car.
And that's not allowed.
Hey?
And that's not allowed.
Well, wasn't it my paper round? It was a nice eastern suburbs area, and being 15 doesn't really help.
No.
Hey. So that was it, given the flick.
Oh, yeah, so I remember getting a cab for my paper round when I was feeling a bit buggered one day.
I got a government car
with a
flag on the bonnet.
Yeah.
Mal lent me one.
All right, well, thanks, Sean. That's a beauty.
Mm.
Have we got, finally, Richard? Are you there, Richard?
Yes, I am, guys. How are you?
Good. Have you been sacked?
Yes, I have.
Where from?
Well, believe it or not, it's Hungry Jack's again.
Oh, no. What did you try and pull?
Well, what happened is, you know how they have those... basically have those little kiddie parties for the kids where they have a clown dress up and they give out a bunch of prizes.
Yep. Yes.
Well, what happened is the clown had a whole bunch of free French fry vouchers, little small ones.
Mm.
She went into the toilet and then I said, beauty. So I took about 5 of them and then went to use them. And this girl always had it in for me, so she dobbed on me straight away. So they said, you're out.
Gee, it's a hotbed of scandal down at Jack's, isn't it?
Yeah,
stealing from
down
a clown. You weren't the person who Lauren tried to crack onto, were you?
No, I wasn't. No, I was only 16 at the time.
Okay, well, that's quite a story. Stealing from a clown. But we've also got the paper round in the car. We got the Girl Guides story that I don't think needs repeating. We've got the obviously the life-saving bizzo. We've got the bell ringing. And we got Hungry Jack's again. Which one are you going
for? I'm going for Sean and his illegal motorised paper round.
Are you there, Sean?
Oh, very much so.
Years later, it's paid off. 2 tickets to see the movie of your choice.
Hey, it makes up for the flogging I got when I got home with the car.
Oh, and will you be allowed to drive to the cinema?
Oh, I hope so.
All right, and you've also gone into the draw for 8 days in an endless summer at Club Med New Caledonia, which is going off this time tomorrow.
Beautiful.
All right, thanks for taking part, one and all, and good luck with securing future employment, obviously, to Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back in the next hour with young Robbie Sitch. Let's Sheryl Crow, still keen on the fun concept here at Martin Molloy. It's the second hour. Our guest is here. This bloke, time was when he used to get about in a silver wig and green sports jacket as one half of TV's Graham and the Colonel. These days, he's a big-time film director who can hold his head up alongside Peter Weir, Fred Skepsy, Ollie Martin and Yahoo Serious. His first movie's called The Castle. It opens today. It copped a pasting from David Stratton last night, so you know it's a beauty. Please welcome Rob Sitch.
That's the sort of introduction. It's the sort of tone that Sonny Bono gets these days, being reminded of his murky past.
Well, we don't want to go to... There's a few names there. Do people know that Ollie Martin was the director of Houseboat Horror? And I know you studied that straight-to-video, Jim, quite a bit when you were getting the hang of film directing.
Now, was it him that won the Palme d'Or, or was it that Love Serenade chick?
Oh, I can't remember. It was one of them.
Houseboat Horror, I think it's on the banned list at Heaven's Gate. I think it's one of the movies they're not allowed to watch.
Yeah, we found the list of banned and thumbs-up films for the Heaven's Gate cult. They were allowed to watch... what were they allowed to watch? They weren't allowed
Gandhi.
To watch... They were allowed to watch Gandhi, weren't allowed to watch Multiplicity.
Well, you knew there was some film buffs about them.
Everyone's a critic. What about Bikini Shop? Surely that's on the tick list.
They couldn't decide. Mm. Now, Rob, obviously you are directing a film. It's coming out today. Does this mean you're treated any differently by media types?
You know, I don't know. For the first time, I've had my private life exposed. Mm-hmm. That's a novelty in Sydney.
Good stuff.
Yeah, no, someone said they were going to interview me about the film, and I opened the paper the next day, and it was Rob's secret romance, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But it's a good thing to do a film tour, because you see the Americans all come out, and you go, I wonder what it's like to tour them. Mm. Tour the country, rorting travel expenses.
Keep an eye.
Like Mel Colston. I had a magic phrase said to me the other day when I was in a hotel, and all expenses are on Village Roadshow. And I said, you know that equals an empty minibar.
Is that right? All expenses on Village. Have you taken full advantage of that?
I did. Yeah, I did. I had the $15 bowl of Chardonnay.
And then burnt the hotel to the ground. What the hell?
If only I played guitar, I would have smashed it. But I said, I had one experience the other day where I was going around, you know, and you're worried, is your film going to reach, you know, all people? Is it a general release movie? Mm. And I was, a bizarre thing, I was being interviewed by a station across the other side of the country while I was on Sydney Harbour Bridge in a taxi on a mobile phone.
Wow.
And I was saying to the guy, oh, you know, he's asking me, explain the movie. And I said, well, look, basically it's just a big load of jokes that when he goes, tell me one. And so I went, gee.
And by the way, could you do it as Mike Moore? That's always good, isn't it?
And so I said to him, I said one of my favourite moments from the film, the father of the family is on the patio, on the balcony of their holiday home, and he's saying, how's the serenity up here? So much serenity. And he's being drowned out by a bug zapper behind him going, bzz, 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 which happens a lot in Australia. Silence, but the taxi driver started laughing.
And now, Rob, I notice you're very lucky because you're touring around with a pretty good film. We see all sorts on this program, and it's always good when you get the film director who's sitting on a load of shite and has to paste on the happy face 3 seconds before you go to air. You know, you got the bloke who directed Showgirls. You say, oh, my God, what have I done? What have I done? You love it. It's feel-good fun for the whole family.
I'll be driving home from this interview, and I'll hear you say, the castle, it's feel-good fun for all the family.
You need. Have they done that? Have they researched a few, catchphrases for the poster they wrote?
You know, our ads are just, you know, trying everything at the moment.
Right.
I think we said it's remastered by George Lucas on the last ad. No, we're going down. Look, I got a bit of a nervous shock, though. I looked at one of the ads the other day and I realised that Beverly Hills Ninja's opening this weekend.
Oh, it's a head-to-head.
It's a battle royale.
Fortunately, you know, and you start to get a little bit competitive. You go, The English Patient, what's that done? 9 academies, you know. Actually, if I blur my eyes a little, I actually think that the little academy symbol is next to the castle.
If you do it like a mad fold-out.
Yeah, that's right.
You can get
exactly
that happening.
Right.
All right, well, let's talk more with Rob Sitch.
Indeed.
In just a moment, here on Martin Molloy. That's no doubt. With Don't Speak here at Martin Molloy, Rob Sitch is with us. Just quickly, Rob, we were talking sacking stories, and we ran through quite a few, which you were a part of there on Radio Gladiators. Ever been sacked?
I have. Me and Tom Gleisner are actually sacked by Ray Martin's Midday Show. You forget that
That's
one.
That's right.
But
yeah.
with good cause. I'm not taking that one to court. It's unfair dismissal. The judge would go, do you really want to proceed?
I remember, though. I remember that you used to do a little newsreader segment, and it was doomed from the start.
It was.
Because there was never enough royal humour.
No.
That's all that audience wants. They just want to hear Fergie gags.
Well, we said, oh, look, you know, maybe it's a good thing for like a Quiet Little Today program or something. And, you know, where they said, oh, no, give it midday a try. And we knew we were dead first week because afterwards, Wally the Worker came on and killed.
That's all. We've got Stephen Wright on the show tomorrow, and one of my favourite experiences watching Midday, I think I've mentioned this one before, Stephen Wright's come on, done about 3 minutes of his best material to almost complete silence from the Midday audience. He's then sat down. He's been interviewed by Ray. Now, when I say interviewed, Ray's just got a clipboard of Stephen Wright's jokes, and he's going, and Stephen, of course, you were the bloke who said, da-da-da-da-da, he's having one of Stephen Wright's gags, killed! And also, and then Ray's realised, oh, on to a good thing here. And weren't you also the bloke who said another one of Stephen Wright's gags, killed!
Shuffling papers. Hey, I've got a million of them.
Someone should do a thesis on that. Explain that one to me.
Well, it's just because Stephen Wright's very quiet. Yeah. And if you watch comics, the skilled comics on Midday will go, two blokes go into a bar. You got your cardigan, love.
And then I usually find they start clapping the cymbals between their knees together. You know what I mean? Just for a bit of colour and movement.
Shiny objects attract them. But yes, now, the film, obviously The Castle, that's what we're talking about. I remember now. Have you been along, Rob, to see it with punters, with the proper people?
Look, I have, and I you know, it's gone over pretty well, but I tell you what, you sink in your chair when you got to see your own film. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I went to the opening of the Piano.
Oh, yeah.
The premiere of The Piano.
Yes.
And I was going, oh, you know, because, you know me, Mick, I'm not a chick flick lover.
Absolutely.
And I was going, no, oh, yeah. And I just went, I think I'm sitting behind Jane Campion. And I was.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Shocking. Oh, do we need to see that? Yeah. Oh, that Piano.
Come
She's
on.
She's going to follow you around to every screening of The Castle.
Oh, very funny.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm going to cop a bit of that. We're actually hoping that people inadvertently come into The Castle. You know the low lighting they have in the multiplexes. Did they say Cinema 6 or 5? 5.
I did a couple of detour signs.
Yeah. I did it one day to, I was going to go and see The Casino, and I'm ready for the 2.5 big Scorsese flick. Mm. The big jumbo Coke, the big jumbo popcorn. Cost me about $47, but I said, stuff it. I go in, it's started. I've got my thing down. I see it's pretty packed. I see a little spot right over in the corner. I go, great, I'm over there. And excuse me, sorry. 20 seats, get over there. Look up, there's 17th century dress. And I'm going, whoa, hang on. There could be a flashback in Casino. And then I see Emma Thompson.
Yeah, and she's sitting right in front of you going, be quiet, it's all right. It's not bad, give it a chance.
Oh, it was Sense and Sensibility. Ouch. And I'm just going, I'm stuck. Yeah. And after 10 minutes I was so embarrassed because I'd really disturbed everyone. You know what those...
I think we are all looking forward to Martin Scorsese's Sense and Sensibility, though. Aren't they talking to me? Now, what do we need to know? What do people need to know? It's
the film's out. We should be having you should be popping the cigars
Shouldn't I?
You know, it's a big day for you, Robbie. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you miss a few things in Australia. You know, when releasing a film, you're not on Entertainment This Week and all that sort of stuff. We go behind the scenes on The Castle.
But obviously, you've come on this program.
It's exciting.
And I'm sad to say we don't have Pot of Shite anymore.
No.
So, you know, we can't offer you the glamour end of the program.
No, that's true. What can you offer me?
Michael Bolton's CD.
Yes. What, Harry Connick Jr. wouldn't take it?
That's right. Nobody leaves the show empty-handed. Rob, you've got your Bolton CDs. The Castle opens today. Obviously, we're urging everyone to go and see it this weekend.
Cinemas everywhere.
Go on, people.
And there's no fat bloke doing ninja work.
There's no Bill Hunter. There's no piano. It's not set on the Gallipoli Peninsula, but God damn it, it's Australian.
And it's an official Martin Malloy top view.
Absolutely.
All right, you better get back on the trail, Rob, and thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks, Mick.
Cut off the last of those la-la-la-las, Gracie. You know we get complaints. That's Simple Minds, Don't You Forget About Me, here at Martin Malloy. And thanks very much to Rob Sitch for dropping by and going to town on his own film, The Castle there. And we didn't really, I thought, you know, I wouldn't bring it up, but the David Stratton business with the review last night, as somebody pointed out to me, this is a guy that gave 4 stars to Hotel de Love.
There you go. I rest my case, Your Honour.
All right, but tell you what, let's get some, well, as we like to say, it's a combination of celebrities and sickening violence.
It's time to play When Celebrities Attack. Celebrities and humans have always coexisted somewhat uneasily on this earth, and no one really knows when one may attack next. Imagine Liam Gallagher taking to a wedding cake with a 9-iron. Imagine Armin Mueller-Stahl charging a bus full of school kiddies. Imagine Carrie Ann Kennelly headbutting a drugged buffalo. Imagine being gored by one of the Hunter brothers. If you can help us relive the moment when celebrities attack, you could be up for a fabulous prize, courtesy of new blue M&Ms.
We were auditioning people for the position as Cheryl. It wasn't at that stage Cheryl's neighbourhood. It was somebody's neighbourhood.
Yes.
And basically, Shane had come in and was doing a bit of an audition, and he was having a yak with Norm the Kangaroo, who was me.
Right. And, so you had a conversation with Shane Bourne in a kangaroo suit.
Exactly.
And as we know, Shane didn't get the role of host, and he waited for years and years, then he popped down to Cheryl's place early of a morning in Brisbane, and we all know what happened.
If you're today's winner, you'll bag a blue M&M prize pack and go into the draw for a trip for two to LA and New York, where you'll score a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Okay, lads, rattle the cage.
Will do, Pete. I'm just looking for celebrity news in today's paper. There's always interesting stories coming out of Amsterdam.
Oh, what's happened now?
I don't know what it is about that place. I've never been there.
It must be fun. It must be like a big Disneyland.
You can sign up at the University of Amsterdam for a 40-hour course, the subject of which is Madonna. You can go in and just study Madonna.
40 hours, you say? You'd have a bit of spare time on your hands, wouldn't you? You'd be done with that in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, they just, as the teacher come in with like a tray with about 70 copies of that metal book she put out. Remember that metal book?
Yeah, I do.
Madonna's metal sex book with a metal cover.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before, but I've still got mine. I've taken all the pages out, thrown them away. It just makes a fantastic sun reflector if you're sitting on a banana lounge in the backyard.
Nicely done.
Study Madonna. I don't think there's anything we can use from that, but speaking of, well, people who have put out a sex book, no, that's not quite a good link to Amanda Vanstone. We'll leave that there. But you know what? We've been having a go at Amanda Vanstone.
Yep.
Like so many of our colleagues.
Yep.
And we figured, you know, we like to be fair and balanced, or balanced even, if we're in the mood, on this show. Let's let Amanda get a bit of her own back. Now, okay, we don't have Amanda in the studio, so what we thought we'd do is get people to call up and be Amanda Vanstone, just going to town on her critics.
On students, possibly, in particular.
That's right. We'll set up a group of rioting students here in the studio. We can arrange that at short notice.
Oh, yeah.
You play the role of Amanda and just go to town on them.
Just giving students a spray.
And obviously keep the language clean.
Yep.
But keep it creative. You know what we like on this program.
Surprise us.
That's right. So, and we will accept, like we say, it is a unisex segment. We will accept male Amanda Vanstones just for the purposes of fairness.
Indeed.
Now, you'll also, if you win, we know that you'll get that blue M&M pack full of items celebrating the fabulous release of new blue M&Ms, but you're also going into the draw for a trip for two to New York and LA, and you'll get a walk-on part in NYPD Blue. Could you...
Oh, if that's going to... you might confuse people. It'll be hard to tell. Sipowicz.
There we go. I'm in trouble again.
Oh, for God's sake.
She's not going to come on the program for another month and a half.
We're supposed to be on Amanda's side this time around, Mickey.
Well, I am. I can't help it. I'm just, you know, sneaks through the net sometimes.
You know, she's doing a fabulous job.
Mm.
She's making sure that Riff Raff can't get into university.
That's exactly right.
Okay, well, call us up and, well, be Amanda. Amanda Vanstone going to town on a mob of angry students. 1-800-657-657. Yes, indeed, that oddball jungle rhythm tells us it's time to play When Celebrities Attack here at Martin Malloy, thanks to our very good friends at Blue M&M's. Mm. And today the celebrity is Amanda Vanstone.
Yep.
Because, well, I know a lot of people think she's doing a fabulous job ensuring that non-liberal voting working class scum can't get a higher education, but we're trying to be fair. And she's claiming whenever she goes to a uni, she's being bagged by the students.
Yep.
We're letting her have a chance to get her own back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a few Vanstones on the line now. We've got an angry mob of students in the studio. Mm-hmm. Who's going first, Mick?
I believe it's Kerry. Are you there, Kerry?
Hello, yes.
That's the way. You're going to Amanda Vanstone.
It's Amanda Vanstone.
Oh, look out. Oh, she's well, in character. Here come the students. Go to town.
Get it right. Here come the students. Well, listen here, young fellas. How do you think I've got the way I was? The touch-up food that they have at that school. And I'm supporting the small businesses by going to Tent City and Captain World. I have my friends here, Gloria Marshall and Jenny Craig, and they're here to back me up. I don't know. Demis Roussos, he seems to be quite popular amongst you people, and Kim Bleasy and all those sorts of people. What do you think it is? Tenement Square? I mean, really, really, really. I ask for respect. I don't know what was happening to these people today.
Well, that's fantastic. And Kerry, do you physically resemble Amanda at all?
Well...
You know what she's like? Svelte, cultish, sylph-like. All right. Thanks, Kerry. Nicely done.
It's interesting. It was supposed to be Amanda Vanstone going to students, but it sounded to me like Amanda going herself.
Was that what you were reading?
She was turning on herself, and we haven't encouraged this.
You know, they're writing their own dialogue out there. Have we got Irene on the line? You there, Irene?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Not too bad. Here come the angry students. Scope you live.
It's all about money. You must understand, we can't run the country on no money. And just don't pick on me about my weight. I tell you that I've been told I'm very, very attractive. And look, my hair is beautiful and my dress sense is wonderful. Now, we've got to raise funds somehow. There's just no free ride in Australia anymore, so just leave me alone.
Have you done much acting before, Irene?
No, none recently.
Are you calling us from a moving car, by the way?
Sorry, I'm actually dodging traffic.
You never spoke to us. We don't know who you are. Nicely done, Irene. I think next it's Wayne. You there, Wayne?
I'm here, mate.
Where are you calling us from, buddy?
Oh, I'm up the Hunter Valley.
You're up the Hunter Valley. Any sign of Amanda?
No, I haven't seen her around here, mate.
All right, well, you'll have to fill her shoes today. Oh, there's the angry mob!
Oh, I'm not fat. I'm just cuddly, you skinny dipsticks. I can eat Mel Colston for breakfast. I'll kick you bloody students out of the unis. You don't belong there, you poor mongrels. I'm the best senator there is. I'll be the next Prime Minister, and I'll do the Macarena nude on the steps of Parliament, you mongrels. Give me a cheeseburger. Get off my bloody property!
Oh, yes. That's superb. A change of character at the end there. Fantastically subtle work there from Wayne.
Amanda. Thanks, boys.
Amanda Vanstone going off.
Hey, people have done their homework. Have we got... I think Sasha is going last. You there, Sasha?
Yeah. Hello.
Not bad. Are you... sorry, where are you calling us from?
Gold Coast.
All right. And does Amanda ever come up your way?
Excuse me. I am Amanda.
Oh, my God.
Oh, listen here. Yeah, settle down, you uni students. Settle down, you long-haired, dreadlock yellows. For goodness sake, listen. The final thing is, the government has no money. Yes, that's right. No more money to give you, you bloody bludgers. Why? Because Senator Colston has to have another bloody holiday. Mr. Beasley! Mr. Beasley, did you hear what he called me? Did he call me? They called me a fat king!
All I got out of that was, I think Amanda needs a Big Mac. I'm not sure.
We've been promised quite a lot today. That offer of the nude Macarena is still flickering in my mind. And I've lost my bearings completely. And obviously, we've got four superb performances there, but there can only be one winner. Is it Kerry, Irene, Wayne, or Sasha?
I know it's going to be controversial, but it's going to Wayne!
Wayne! Fantastic.
I'm going to all-you-can-eat sizzler tonight.
Oh, well.
Get out of character now.
And if you still aren't full then, you're going to be swimming in blue M&Ms and all the accessories and accoutrements which come with the blue M&M pack. And you've got into the draw for that trip for two to New York and LA, where you'll be having a walk-on part in NYPD Blue if you come out of the barrel in a couple of weeks' time.
Oh, thanks, boys.
Okay, thanks for taking part. Hello to everyone listening up the Hunter Valley. And we'll be back for a very violent round to end the week here on When Celebrities Attack tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Oh, that music means it's time to go here at Martin Malloy. It was, of course, Maxi Priest and Shaggy. He's Mr. Bombastic, you know, with that girl. And are we signing off early? I think we've got a very important flashback to fit in before the end of the program.
Excellent.
I'd just like to say hello to Bob, my plumber, who came around this morning. There was some kind of exploding tap arrangement at my house, and I didn't know what was going on. He's had a look at it, and he's gone, yeah, I'm going to have to go out to the truck. And you know it's serious.
Oh, no.
I have to get the special tool. He's gone out to the truck. He hasn't come back with any member of the Colston family. He's come back with a blue ballpoint pen.
What?
He's gone to town on something with a blue ballpoint pen.
I see. What's the one of it?
That's a master plumber in action.
There he is.
That's fantastic. He's been poking about with a blue ballpoint and he's gone, that's fixed.
And then hands it to you to sign the check.
That's right, which I did with a torque wrench. Superb. So hello to Bob if you're listening. What a master craftsman. We also must thank our guests, Rob Sitch, Harry Connick Jr., all our gladiators and infected vanstones. Thanks to Coca-Cola, we'll be winding up the week tomorrow, Funny Buggers Week, with one of the funniest buggers in the world. In fact, Stephen Wright will be joining us once again here at Martin Malloy. And just before we go, Mick, I'd like to apologise for my behaviour at that party a couple of weeks back. Do you remember what I did?
Well, yeah.
I'll see if I can recall it now. Oh, no. Let's go.